بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
A presentation of Quran Sunnah educational programs. Visit us online at www.qsep.com.
الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر.
Faith in Qadr, predestination.
إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ.
الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today إن شاء الله we will be speaking about one of the greatest six pillars of faith in Islam, and that is our faith in the divine destiny or predestination or al-qada wal-qadr. This is mentioned in Quran by itself as a pillar of faith in many verses, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadr," that we have created everything according to a due predestination. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wakana amru Allahi qadaran maqdura," that the affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are according to a due predestination. And there are many verses in Quran which mentions اللوح المحفوظ, الكتاب المبين. Although الكتاب المبين, sometimes it means Quran, but sometimes from the following the sentences, it means the preserved tablet. And the preserved tablet is a book in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written all things pertaining to our actions. Whatever we do, whatever we whisper, whatever we think, whatever we... anything which pertains to Allah's creatures, actions, are written in that book. And the hadiths are a lot of hadiths. In Bukhari, in Muslim, agreed upon hadiths, and in other books of hadith, there are so many true hadiths agreed upon about this very important issue. Despite all this, unfortunately, we have some contemporary writers, when they speak about the pillars of faith, they only mention five pillars. They don't mention this sixth pillar of faith, as if it is not a pillar of faith. You see? I've seen this in some of the writings of Abu La'la al-Mawdudi, rahimahullah. This doesn't mean that he doesn't believe in it. No. We cannot accuse him of this, because this is kufr, you see. But definitely, this party called Hizb al-Tahrir, they claim that there is no such thing as the belief of predestination. They say this is not a belief. It is not one of the articles of faith. It is a personal thing. Something that if you believe in it, it's up to you, it's personal. Now this is a very dangerous statement. It is it is, if not clear kufr, it is very near to that. And this is the main issue that those who deny the predestination, they don't deny the fact that Allah knew everything since ever. They don't deny this. You see? Those who deny Qadr, they admit that Allah knew everything. Everything that we are going to do. Okay? Except the Mu'tazilas and Shias, and Shias also follow the Mu'tazila, in most of their beliefs, they say that Allah knew things in totality, not in details. That he would not know the detailed thing until it occurs. You see? يعني he doesn't, Allah did not know that this brother would go now and leave. Until now, he left. Okay? This is what the Shias and Mu'tazila say regarding the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he knew the total, the events in totality. يعني he knew that a brother Abdullah, for example, will be in paradise. But he did not know the details of what he is going to do daily, whatever. يعني he knew only the totality knowledge, you see. Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah say that the faith in the divine decree must constitute of four things. The first is the knowledge of Allah, the comprehensive knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only the knowledge, the comprehensive knowledge, that he knew everything, everything in detail, everything. يعني the moving of the brother in detail, just like he moved, his way, he put his hands afterwards, whatever, everything. The moving of the foot of the brother here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew in detail everything. Ali radiallahu anhu once did this. He took some spit like this and he put it here. And he said, Allah, he said, this is in the preserved tablet. By Allah, this is in the preserved tablet. يعني Allah has written what I have just done for you. And it is in the preserved tablet. There's a hadith which says كل شيء بقدر حتى العجز والكيس. Everything is according to predestination. It's predestined. It's written. Even the fact that sometimes you become lazy to do something, this is written. You see? يعني abstaining from doing something because of laziness or because of inability, even this is written, you see. Well case means thinking good, you see. Everything is written in that preserved tablet. Everything pertaining to Allah's creatures actions is written. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as in Sahih Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, and with it he wrote all the predestination. This is in Sahih Muslim and in many other hadiths. And this occurred 50,000 years before creating heavens and earth, or heavens and the earths. Now we have knowledge and writing. The third is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the universal will, which is in the verse, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That whatever Allah wills, he just says be and it will be. كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Actually, universal is not an accurate word to translate كَوْنِيَّة. كَوْنِيَّة here means to be. To be. You see? So this kind of will, the يعني to be will, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said be, it will be. This is called the mashi'ah, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's called the universal will. The other will is the legalistic will, the orders of Allah. What is halal, what is haram, what is good, what is bad. This is Allah's legalistic will. So we have two wills, the to be will. Anything which happens must be following this, must be following this, because nothing can overcome the will of Allah. Nothing can happen forcibly on Allah. Nothing, even kufr. When kufr occurs, it doesn't occur forcibly on Allah. Nothing occurs forcibly on Allah, who runs the affairs of everything, and he can say to anything be and it will be. You see? Let's take any kafir. If Allah willed for him to be guided, he would just say be and it will be. You see? So, anything which occurs, we can tell that this is according to Allah's will. Universal will. That to be will, if we can call it. But anything which Allah loves for us to do, tawheed, the right faith, salat, siyam, and so on, then this is under the legalistic will. It could occur and it could not occur. You see? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed legalistically for everyone to worship Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have only created the jinn and ins to worship me alone. But did it occur? No. Some worshipped and some did not worship. Right? Some worshipped and some did not worship. You see? And we have verses in Quran in which we have the word irada, will. And it means the first kind of will, which is the to be will. And we have other verses in Quran in which it means the other kind, which is the legalistic will. The example of the first one is the verse that I mentioned earlier. And another verse, for example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا He who Allah wills guidance for him, he will make his heart open for guidance. And he who Allah wills misguidance for him, he will make his heart tight and locked so that it will not accept guidance. You see? So this kind of will in this verse is the first type, the universal will. You see? But let's take another verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ Allah wills easiness for you and does not will toughness or hardship. What does will mean here? If it meant the first kind, then it should occur. Then nothing but easiness should occur to us. Right? No one should face any hardship. Right? But this is not what it means. It means Allah orders you with that which is easy for you. Nothing is difficult which Allah has ordered you. He ordered you with 5 prayers. You could take 50. You could take more. Some people pray all day. Like the pray all night, like the Khawarij used to do, you see, all year around. Allah ordered you to fast 1 month. The Khawarij used to fast all year. They would not break the fast one day, you see. But Allah wanted easiness for us. He made zakat for us 2.5%. You see, if you go and see the taxes they have in America, you'll get crazy. 65% only income tax. It could reach to 65%. And it depends on your salary. But it could reach to 65% of your salary. Only income tax, you know. In Islam, you don't have any taxes. Taxes are haram, you see. They are not allowed in Islam. And you only pay zakat 2.5%. And you don't have to pay it to the government. You can pay it to whoever you think is needy or يعني, according to the categories of zakat. As a matter of fact, you can pay it to your own brother if he fits the description, if he is needy. You can give it to your own brother, your own sister, your other relatives, except your father and mother, where it is obligatory on you to spend on them if they are in need. You cannot give them from the zakat. It is obligatory on you to spend on them. You see? So alhamdulillah, this is the meaning of yuridu Allahu bikum al-yusr. Yurid here, the will here means the legalistic will, not the universal, not to be, you see. So some people might not follow the Sharia in the right way, so easiness will not happen to them, will not occur to them, you see. The other verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. Now this verse, the Shias do not understand it. They understand the will here to mean the first one, which is to be, that Allah willed for Ahlul Bayt to be purified. You see? And when you tell them you misunderstood it, they say, no, you misunderstood it. We have, of course, they can claim anything they want, right? But we tell them, if it meant the first one, then it will occur. No doubt, right? Then why did the Prophet ﷺ, according to your narrations, brought Ali and Fatima and Al-Hasan and Al-Hussein and made dua for them to be purified? Why? You see? Because they have this story. And they say the Prophet ﷺ brought Ali and Fatima and Al-Hasan and Al-Hussein and he put them under some kind of tent or whatever. And he made dua for them to be purified. After this verse was revealed. Why did the Prophet ﷺ do this? There is no need. Allah said, I'll purify them. So there is no need, you see. But the verse here doesn't mean the universal, the to be. No, it means the order for them to be pure. And what makes it clearer, the verses, the other verses before it and after it, all of those verses were orders for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ to cover up, to have chastity, to have modesty, and so on and so forth. And then amongst those orders was this order, to be pure, you see. So it's just one of those orders, you see. It's not something that they claim. And you cannot take the one sentence out of the other sentences context just like that, you know, because they are related. All of them are orders for the wives of the Prophet. Ya Nisa al-Nabi, O wives of the Prophet, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And amongst them was this, you see. So therefore, understanding the difference between the two forms of wills of Allah is very crucial for this topic of the faith and qadr. If you don't understand the difference, you will go astray in this issue. You see? Why? Those who denied qadr, like Mu'tazila, and like, to some extent like them, are the Maturidis also, which make up now the Hanafis, mostly. The Mu'tazila and the those who deny the Qadr, when they see someone doing something bad, let's say stealing or whatever, they say, Allah did not love this action. He doesn't love stealing. True or not? True, no doubt. Allah hates all kinds of sins and kufr and shirk. True. But then they said what? Because he doesn't love it, that means he didn't will it. You see? So they did not separate between the two forms of will. They took the second one to mean the first one. They could not separate between them. One will only. So who willed it then? Who willed it? Could anything occur in the kingdom of Allah forcibly on Allah? No doubt that nothing can occur like this. Okay, let's come to the other group, which went to the other extreme. who said that things are written means that we have no will at all. That the brother is scratching his foot now without his will. Okay? So, those people, how they explained it? They saw someone who is committing, let's say, stealing again. And they say, this is willed by Allah. Okay. Is it willed by Allah? Yes, it's willed by Allah. But not according to their understanding. So they say, this is willed by Allah. Therefore, Allah likes it. Therefore, you don't have to blame yourself and to repent. Why should you blame yourself and repent from something which you believe occurred according to the will of Allah and He likes it? You see? Qadianis have this belief. Therefore, what they were doing in India in the time of the British colonism, they used to come to the Muslims and tell them that you should not be defiers of the decree of Allah. The fact that the British are conquering you now, this is the decree of Allah. How could you defy it and stand against it, and you want to free yourself from the colonization of the British? You see, this is Qadianism. This is not Islam. Okay, this is not Islam. So we Muslims believe that we have a free will. No doubt about that. You can distinguish. And you can stand up now and give a speech without trembling, without shaking, right? And you can make a scene, make a play, and stand up and say some words and shake, you know, just act up like you are shaking and things, right? But sometimes you will be forced to shake when you give a speech. This was a scene that you made, and this is without your will. So you are shaking. You don't want to shake in front of the people, right? But you are shaking. You cannot stop it. You see? I remember my first speeches. I was doing like this, you know. like this. So, especially when you give khutbah, you know, and a lot of people are there, you'll shake. You cannot just be smooth. So this is without your will. You know that this is without your will, you see. But when you do it to make people or to joke with the people, you know that it is with your will. So we have a will. We can tell we have a will, you see. And those who say that we don't have a will, they are contradicting themselves. Why are they getting married? Let them not get married and wait for children. Why are they working and going into jobs and seeking money? Let them sit in their houses and wait for the money to come. If they believe, as they say, you see, but they are contradictory. When it comes to the actions of the hereafter, which please Allah, they said, well, Allah did not guide us, so we cannot change the will of Allah. You see? You have people now who don't pray. And you tell them, why don't you pray? They said, Allah did not guide me. You see? Allah did not guide you. Did you look in the preserved tablet? Did you see that Allah has written this for you? You have not seen. You are a liar. And this same excuse was used by mushriks, idol worshippers. They said in Quran, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَاهُ. If Allah willed for us, we would not be worshipping those idols. You see? As if they knew what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for them. They did not know. That's why Allah told them, قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا. Do you have a knowledge that you base your statement on? So bring it up. Bring this knowledge. Because this is a secret. This is what's written in the preserved tablet is a secret as long as it doesn't occur. If it occurs, we know it. You know? Or we could know it. If it occurs, then we could know it. يعني something that occurs to me, I'll know it. You know? But as long as it is in the preserved tablet and it did not occur, we don't know. So anyone who says, I don't want to pray because Allah did not guide me, this is lying on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third, as we mentioned, is the will of Allah, and we distinguished between the two kinds of wills. This is very important to know the two different types of wills. Now, the fact that Allah willed things does not mean that He has forced us, because He has created us in the best form, with tools to think with, tools to do with, you see, with full ability in us, you see. So Allah has created us with the ability. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, من شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. He who wishes or he who wills, let him believe. And he who wishes or he who wills, let him disbelieve. If you want to disbelieve and go to hellfire, that's your choice. I have not forced you. If you want to believe and go to heavens, this is your choice. You see? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. قَالُ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. قال, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. All my nation will go to paradise, except those who refuse. So the companions يعني said, who would refuse to go to paradise? The Prophet ﷺ said, anyone who obeys me, then he will go to paradise. And anyone who disobeys me, then this is just like saying, I don't want to go to paradise. You see? This is stronger than saying by tongue, because you are actually saying it by actions. You are not going according to the orders of Allah and His Messenger. And finally, the fourth pillar of faith, the fourth step in this pillar of faith, is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all our actions. He is the creator of our actions. We are not the creator of anything. Are you the creator of anything? No. No one creates anything truly. Allah only creates. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. To Allah belongs all the creation and all the rule, all the order. You see? أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. You see? So, whatever we do is created by Allah, because we are created, our attributes are created, our actions are created. But we should not misunderstand this. Yani, some people misunderstood this. They thought that the fact that Allah is the creator of our actions, that we are not responsible for our actions. You see? This is not true. We are the true doers of our actions. It's not Allah who is eating for us or drinking for us. We are eating, we are drinking, we are praying, we are fasting, we are giving zakat, right? In Quran it says, الصائمين والصائمات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات. Allah is attributing those actions to who? To us. You see? But those Sufis claim that you will not have tawheed until you believe that there is no true actor except Allah. That you are not moving your foot now. And you are not shaking your head. And the brother is not moving his hand. If you believe that you are doing anything, then you are a mushrik to them. You are not a true muwahid, at least. You see? And they call this the special, the tawheed of the specials. You see? Of course, they are special cuckoos. No doubt about that. Because they are denying something which they are doing. Yeah, like the brother is laughing. If I tell him, are you laughing? He says, no. You're laughing? No. Then what can I tell him? And then they have a further tawheed, which is called the tawheed of the special of the specials. The cuckoos are amongst the cuckoos. And those say that it's not only your action which does not exist, you don't exist altogether. And they say, there is nothing in existence except Allah. Allah is us and we are Allah and nothing else. No true existence for anything but for Allah. And this is the extreme of the Sufis, which is common not only amongst the Sunnis now, but amongst the Shias also. Khomeini was a big Sufi. He has a book called Bahjatul Anzar, praising all Sufi figures and bringing all those quotations, which mean that Allah and his creatures are one thing, no separation, you see. They have a poet called Faridul Attar, one Sufi. He says, and glory be to Allah from what he says, because this is clear kufr. He says, مَا الْكَلْبُ وَالْخِنْزِيرُ إِلَّا إِلَهُنَا. The dog and the pig is nothing but our Lord. And similarly, the saint who is worshipping in the church, and the rabbi who is worshipping in the synagogue, they are all Allah. The dog, the pig, the saint, the synagogue, whatever, because they follow this belief, which is a very old belief, actually. This belief is at least 4,000 or 5,000 years old, before Christ, yani. Yeah, old Indian belief, this belief of the unity of the universe and all things. They have this. So anyway, the fact that Allah is the creator of our deeds does not mean that they are not our deeds, truly. They are our deeds. And therefore, we are responsible for them. But we don't say, like the Mu'tazila say, that everyone is the creator of his own evil, his own actions, you see. This is the belief of the deniers of destination, Mu'tazila. They say, Allah's will has nothing to do with your actions. Allah's will has nothing to do with your sins. And they say, you are the creator of your own actions. So you are a creator, he is a creator, he is a creator, he is a creator. Not one creator. Everyone is also a creator, you see. Now, the outcome of the belief of those who deny the destination is very dangerous. But the outcome of those who claim to approve the predestination but go to the extreme that we have no will, this is worse. Even though they approved of the predestination, but they approved it in a way which they denied that we have any will. Therefore, we don't blame ourselves when we do wrong things. Therefore, we never repent. But those people at least have some weight for actions, and when they do something wrong, they blame themselves. You see? So the other faith is more dangerous than the first one. You see? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith that a man would be acting upon the good actions, the actions of the people of paradise, until there is only an arm length between him and paradise. He's so close to go to paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has decreed for him to go to hellfire, he will end his life with an action which deserves hellfire, and he will do it, and he will go to hellfire. See, all his life, he was doing good things. Okay? This is a very important hadith, and it must be understood correctly, because if someone doesn't understand the hadith correctly, he will doubt the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see? Because a person is doing good all his life until there is an arm length between him and paradise. And then, because it is written for him in the preserved tablet that he is amongst the people of hellfire, Allah will make it possible for him to make an action in which he deserves to be going to hellfire. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ says also, a man in the opposite picture, a man who is doing bad things, evil things, actions of the people of hellfire, until there is only an arm length between him and hellfire. Because Allah has written for him that he will be in heaven, Allah will make it possible for him to do something which he deserves to go to heavens. And he will do it, and he will end up with that and go to heavens. Now, this true hadith is narrated in another narration which makes it clearer, because this hadith, some people might read it first and say, what, how could this be, right? All his life doing good, and then he will be doing something bad, and or one thing bad, and go to hellfire and so on. So the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a man would be doing actions of the people of paradise as it seems to people. As it seems. يعني the apparent look of those actions are good. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Such as salat, siyam, zakat, hajj, whatever good actions. Apparently the actions are good. But what do we need for an action to be good? We need the intention. It has to be purely for the sake of Allah. You can be doing those actions for other causes. Therefore, they are not good actions. So Allah knew in his heart, no one knows his heart but Allah. So knew in this man's heart, or in this woman's heart, that he was not doing those seemingly good actions, was not doing them for Allah. Therefore, Allah wanted to expose him at the end of his life. You see? So he was exposed that those good, seemingly good actions, they were not truly good. They were not for the sake of Allah. Okay? So Allah made him do something bad which he deserves hellfire, and then he will die on that and go to hellfire. So he deserved it, right? Because he was not worshipping Allah all this time. He was just showing off. So Allah did not do injustice to him when he put him in hellfire. The other guy who was doing actions which seemed to be actions of hellfire, of the people of hellfire, the man eventually repented sincerely to Allah, and he did one action after that, maybe one or two, whatever, even one action after repentance, after sincere repentance. Even if you do one action, you will go to heavens. You will not go to hellfire. So this is one of the hadiths of Qadr, which is very important in Qadr. Another hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that the angels will be sent to the womb of the mother to blow the soul in the fetus. This is in the fourth month, or at the end of the fourth month. Right then, they will be asking, the angels will be asking, "Oh Allah, what should we write?" And they will be asking about his fate in the hereafter, how long he is going to live, what is his provision, wealth, whatever. So they will be writing. Okay. In this hadith, the writing here is not the same writing of the preserved tablet, of course. This is different. You see? This is different. In this book, in the hands of angels, abrogation could occur. Canceling could occur. Wiping out could occur. You see? But in the preserved tablet, no. Nothing is wiped out. You see? That's why Umar radiallahu anhu used to make dua. He used to say, "Oh Allah, if you have written me as mischievous in hereafter, erase that and write me as happy. Erase it from the book in the hands of the angels." You see? So Allah will order the angels, "You have this written down, erase it and write down this." But this has been all in the preserved tablet, that Allah will order to be erased and changed to that. You see? So the preserved tablet is the original writing, if we may call it. And this writing of the angels is subdivision of that. Then we have two more writings. One is in Laylatul Qadr every year. Allah subhanahu, that's why it's called Al-Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, because it is from the predestination. And Allah says about this night, فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. In that night, everything will be written. Everything will be written wisely, or everything wise will be written. So this is the third writing. So we have this, that's why you have scholars who say we have books, not one book, not only the preserved tablet. And we have pens, not one pen. The first pen in which the preserved tablet was written, 50,000 years before creating heavens and earth. And one is every year, Laylatul Qadr, and one is every day. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rahman, كل يوم هو في شأن. كل يوم هو في شأن. Allah raises up those whom He wills, puts down those whom He wills, forgives those whom He wills, and so on. This is every day. But all these are subdivisions of the preserved tablet. And the preserved tablet doesn't change according to the agreement of the scholars of Al-Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran that it will not change. But there is another verse regarding the other books, especially the one with the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Yamhu means erases. Yamhu Allahu ma yasha. Allah erases that which He wills. Wa yuthbit, and يثبت is the opposite of erase. What is it? Affirms or يعني confirms whatever. وعنده أم الكتاب that the preserved tablet is with him. No change occurs in it. So in this verse, it is very clear that the erasing is not in the preserved tablet. Because Allah is saying, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. Then he says, وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. And with him is the mother of all books, which is the preserved tablet. There are very good books written in this subject, the best of which is written by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, which is called Shifa'ul Alil, the curing of the ill, you know, because this is a very important issue. If you follow the hadiths, no problem. No problem. No illness will occur to you. You see, that's why Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, one of the companions, whenever he used to start any session, he used to say two sentences. Allahu hakamun qist halaka al-murtabun. Allah is the most wise. Allah is the most just. Destroyed be the doubters. Destroyed be the doubters. يعني it's only when you doubt the justice of Allah or His wisdom that you will be destroyed. You see? Otherwise, if you have full faith in Allah's justice and full faith in Allah's wisdom, no problem. No problem. No. If there are any questions about this dangerous and important subject, you should not make it hanging in your mind. Ask about it. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from indulging into this subject does not mean not understanding it or not asking to understand it. Because one of the one of the students of companions, he went on asking about this issue 5-6 companions or more. And they were all telling him the same answer. Until someone told him the same answer, and then he quoted the Prophet ﷺ to tell him to say this answer. And that is, whatever occurs to you would never happen to you, and whatever happened to you would not have missed you. All pens have dried, and all books have been folded. And also in this hadith, we have books and pens. Not one book and not one pen. That's why the scholar said 5 pens or 4 pens or 5 books or 4 books. Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْقَدَرُ فَأَمْسِكُ. When the destination, this issue is mentioned, do not indulge in details. يعني you don't have to go in details of something which is a secret. It's written in the preserved tablet. The will of Allah, the details of it are not with us. They are not published. They are in the preserved tablet. So why should we go and search for something which is hidden? You see? That's why Ali radiallahu anhu said, Al-Qadr sirru Allah al-maktoum. The Qadr is the sacred secret of Allah. Don't go into details about the will and the wisdom and so on, in which you cannot reach. This doesn't mean we don't ask for the wisdom. We can ask for the wisdom, no problem. We are not Ash'aris who claim that there is no wisdom. The Ash'aris say that Allah does things for no cause. Yani, they say in their books, Allah takes the most mischievous person. Who is it? Let's say Khomeini or Iblis, let's say. Okay. And he can put him in the highest part of heaven. And he can take the most pious person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and put him in the lowest part of hellfire. And when you tell them, how could that be? He said, no, it's his will, we don't ask. You see, this is wrong. This is a very stupid faith. This is not a faith which fits with the wisdom and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we believe is, it is true, you don't ask Allah, but not only because He is the Lord and the Master, because there is no room to question. You cannot question His justice, He is the most just. You cannot question His wisdom, He does everything for a wisdom, for a good thing. So if you cannot question His justice and cannot question His wisdom, then where does your question come from? You see? But the Ash'aris, when they say we don't ask Allah, they say just because He is the Lord. You see? This is not true. We don't say this. This is not the way Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
هذا من فضل ربي ليبلوني أأشكر أم أكفر ومن شكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن ربي غني كريم.